from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
The premier baseball show in Chicago, Hit and Run with Matt Spiegel.
Line drive out to left, Benintendi, and it's over his head. And it's a double for Renfro.
3-0 Kansas City.
1-1 to Pham, and Witt will pick it up, and that'll do it. So the Sox need a win tomorrow to avoid a sweep. They've now dropped 6 in a row.
Carroll swings and hits one high in the air. Deep right center field. This is going to go. It's gone. A 2-run home run for Corbin Carroll. And the Diamondbacks add to their lead. 3-0 now over the Cubs. Here in the fifth, second home run allowed in the frame by Hendricks.
Here comes the 1-0 from Seawall. It's lifted into deep right center. Going back is Carroll with a play, makes the catch. And the ball game is over. And the Diamondbacks have made it 2 in a row here at Wrigley Field.
It's time for Hit and Run with your host, Matt Spiegel.
Dun, dun, good morning. Dun, dun, good morning. Dun, dun. See, here's the thing. Baseball itself is a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful game. It's a really good, interesting league. Summer is a lovely time of year. Last night at the ballpark, a lovely evening. Turn up the low brass. So, to recap, baseball beautiful, league interesting and good. Summer, nice. Last night, lovely. These two ball clubs that we get to watch, that we have to talk about, woof. They're not good. And they're not good in different ways with different contexts, and we'll talk about all of it with you. Good morning, everybody. I refuse to be depressed and angry. You can, though. You're welcome to call at 312-644-6767. That's the phone number. That's also the text line, and that's how you get in here on the listener line, which is powered by BetQL. Bet smarter and beat the books. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com. Me, I'm broadcasting live from the Hyundai Score Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. See, here's the thing. We live in a world where the trade deadline looms at 6 p.m. on the 30th of July. That means the Cubs had 10 games coming out of the break with which to make a stand and prove for the second consecutive July to their boss, Jed Hoyer, that they are deserving of some aggression to help them out. And they have come out with the first two games of this deadline and played awful. Just awful. Unfortunate baseball in some specific ways. And yes, there has also been baseball weirdness. Baseball is a funny game. Bad umpire calls on Friday. Acknowledged, Chef. Acknowledged. Kyle Hendricks says that the Diamondbacks are a real good lineup who had a bunch of good at-bats and just took advantage of two pitches in the fifth. And that's true. Just 3 runs for Kyle given up in 5 innings. If the offense does anything, maybe Kyle gets better, deserves better. But I still have questions about what went on from his perspective in the fifth that we'll talk about. And then there's the Cubs bats who just, oh man, second and third, nobody out in the fifth yesterday, down 3-0 all of a sudden with spots 3, 4, and 5 coming up in the order. And Zach Gallen at that point knows he's done after this inning, knows he's not going to get the sixth. Pitching coach comes out, talks to Zach Gallen, second and third, nobody out. They talk about it. And then there's a strikeout of Seiya Suzuki. Was that a bad call on the check swing? I think they actually got it right. Tough one for Seiya, who walked twice earlier in the game. That is third at bat. Probably should have walked a third time. It's tough when you're putting that pressure on yourself and you want to do something when other people are not really doing anything here to start the break. And then a strikeout for Ian Happ. Christopher Morel works a walk. And then there's this from Mike Tauchman, and Zach Gallen knew he had survived his final and biggest, and it turns out the only real challenge for the Cubs all night long.
Gallen is ready. Here comes the 2-2. A bouncing ball hit on the right side, fielded by Walker, underhand toss to Gallen, covering the bag in time to get Tauchman, and the Cubs leave the bases loaded after five.
That's it. That is literally it. Until Miles Mastroboni's double in the ninth inning, a pinch hit double. I can tell you, folks, I was there last night on a beautiful night with wife and child, and we had an incredible evening. It's a wonderful place to go. You know that. Hell, it's full every night. We had a wonderful evening, except for the effort by the ball club. Just a grim, grim showing. There was nothing there. And there was ugliness on Friday. Not so much ugliness in the field defensively last night. I mean, Seiya Suzuki with a misread in right field, but then he recovers and makes the catch. But it was just dead, man. And it's fitting that we're having Bob Brenly on a little bit later this morning. Bob Brenly's going to be on at noon. He can talk Diamondbacks with us. He can talk Torrey Lovello with us. He can talk a little Craig Counsell with us. Talk the state of baseball with us. Because Bob Brenly, 13 years ago in the summer of 2011, commented on a Cubs team that he was unimpressed by.
This has been a dead-ass team.
Yeah, dead-ass team. That's what it felt like last night. Brenly in my head as I watched it last night. Woof. It's just, it's a very dark moment because they knew they needed to come out swinging. First two at-bats on Friday. Nico with a hit, Michael Busch with a hard liner to center. And I'm watching them like, you know what? Maybe they're going to come out blazing. They won 8 of 11 going into the break. Bats were on fire. But it has not happened at all the last 2 days against Ryan Nelson. Ryan Nelson? What? Who? Huh? Ryan Nelson had given up 26 earned runs in his previous 9 starts. And he'd shut the Cubs out for a while. And then that bullpen, that D-backs bullpen is legit, folks. You saw a bunch of arms last night. Kevin Ginkle, and then was it Jesus Martinez, and then Thompson, the funky righty. And then eventually Sewald, who will mess with your head. Paul Sewald will mess with your head. And he did so both of the last 2 days. So a grim, grim showing from the Cubs. And we want to talk about it with you at 312-644-6767. As for the White Sox, same script the last two nights in Kansas City. Give up some runs early, and then offense does a big pile of nothing with their opportunities. And it's unfortunate, but you got to speak some truth. Brutal defense again for the White Sox in the outfield, giving up extra bases. Jonathan Cannon was not bad last night. But there were a lot of weird moments and weird plays with those 5 straight hits in the first inning. And yes, he gave up the contact, but extra bases just handed around to people. Slugging percentages climbing based on mediocre to bad outfield play. Here's one for you. If anybody was watching, and I'm sure some of you are not, and we'll move on to some trade deadline stuff with the White Sox in a little bit, but when Michael Massey triples, local kid, local product, Michael Massey, when he triples and Salvador Perez scores from first, like trudging, looking like a lost Molina brother out there was Sal Perez. He's rounding third. And I'm like, what? They're sending Sal Perez from first on a double? And I'm like, oh, but it's got to be a play at the plate here. But Tommy Pham's throw came into Nicky Lopez out by second base. Meanwhile, Sal Perez is scoring, so there wasn't a hit cutoff man to try and get a play at the plate where you throw it to the first baseman. as a cutoff. There wasn't that direct line from right field. Or did Lopez turn around? No. And there also wasn't a throw to third, so Michael Massey goes in for a triple standing up. That ball was not misplayed out there and right. It was just played slowly by Tommy Pham. And then a weird throw to Lopez out by second. What are we doing here? You get an extra base. You get an extra base. It's gruesome. By the way, you know what? It does remind me of just the look on Justin Steele's face on Friday as he pointed towards second base when Gabby Moreno, the catcher, held up briefly between first and second, pulling a little league deke on Seiya Suzuki. That's little league, man. And Seiya throws behind him, and Moreno's like, okay, I'll just keep running then. Thank you. And goes to second. And if anybody didn't see, Justin Steele is standing on the mound pointing to second base. That's where the throw...
Whistings.
That's where the throw... That throw should go to... Extra base. You get an extra base. I don't like when our teams give up extra bases. Like, it's just... Everybody gets them. Look, there's trade deadline stuff to talk about with both teams. The Cubs start this 10-game run before the deadline, desperately needing, in my opinion, a 5-1 homestand. Six games against Arizona and the Brewers. They're 0-2 in those six games. 5-1 has left town. Now you got to take the next four. Would you accept a 4-2 road trip? I mean, 4-2 homestand? You'll take it. But then they go to Kansas City for three. Got to take two of three there. These are the corners you've backed yourself into. You know? This is where you've put yourself. Last year, your playoff odds got above 25% by the end of the month by the trade deadline, and Jed Hoyer made a buy. Right now, your playoff odds are 6.8%. 6.8%. Folks, if you want to call it over, I can't battle with you too much. I mean, this was your time. This was your moment. Still got eight games left, but it's literally these last eight games. What you got? And even if you do rise up and have great at-bats and bust your hump, it's still baseball. You can lose games. Baseball is a funny game. Was that Joe Garagiola? Is that what I keep quoting? It got in my head Friday, and it hasn't left. Because it is. It's quirky. It's weird. But any of you out there feeling grumpy, any of you out there who might, I don't know, be producing the show and might have texted their host last night and said, baseball sucks, dude. Yeah. It's all right. I got you, Sean. I got you. He texted me and said, baseball sucks, dude. It doesn't suck. Cubs are playing bad. Your team is playing bad. It sucks in this town right now. I personally, hardcore baseball guy, hit and run host, baseball romantic, I've never been more ready for Bears season than I am in my life.
Yeah, me too, man.
I never have. I mean, I don't want to talk offensive line for 6 weeks. I don't want to talk about Nate Davis for 6 weeks. But if I got to talk about Caleb Williams, not on Sunday mornings. But Monday through Friday, look, I'm game. I'm ready. What's the source of sports optimism in this town? It ain't the baseball. What the hell? What have we done to deserve this? What have I done to deserve this? It's bad. Kyle Hendricks post-game talking about his outing and talking about the state of the team. I want you to hear that in a second. But let's say this. When Kyle walked the number 9 hitter, Geraldo Perdomo, in the 5th inning last night, and up came the top of the order for the third time through, every human in the place knew that it was trouble. I knew it was trouble. I put my head down. I shook my head. Wife and child looked at me and said, why? And then I told him, look, it's third time through the order. You can't be walking the 9 hitter. Kyle's operating on a thin margin. And then I was watching the pitch selection because I have some thoughts on Kyle and pitching that we're going to talk about with Pitching Ninja at 11 o'clock. Rob Friedman, I'm really looking forward to that. And we'll certainly talk about it with you throughout the morning, different things about the game. Remember, we're doing Team of the Moment later. We can talk about anything all over the league here on Hit and Run and 670 The Score. But Kyle, as he was pitching to Corbin Carroll, who is real good against righties and has turned it on in the couple of weeks leading up to the break. He hit seventh against Justin Steele, the lefty, on Friday. But yesterday, hitting leadoff. At bat number one from Hendricks to Carroll. Fastball, one pitch, fly ball, deep out. At bat number two to Carroll, two changeups. And he threw the changeups twice, got a fly out. For those who don't know, Kyle, the third time through, his OPS against is over 1.000. Third time through the order, teams get to him. And, you know, there's lots of theories as to why. Here's what I knew as I was watching. I know that Kyle's curveball has been really good of late, and he's been throwing it more. Thank you, Miguel Amaya. Thank you to Kyle Hendricks' father, too, who apparently always tells him to throw the curveball more often. Boog Shambi told us that a few starts ago. So anyway, the curveball has helped Kyle because it changes speeds. It messes with timing. Oh, you know, pitching. Oh, my goodness. And Kyle's been a master at pitching and messing with timing and getting weak contact in his career. An absolute master. Last time out, seven shutout innings in St. Louis. But here I am watching. Here I am watching the third at bat coming up. And this is after a Tommy Hotovy trip to the mound. I'm thinking, okay, what are they going to do with Corbin Carroll now? As I mentioned, fastball, one pitch out, first time up. Second time up, two changeups. You know what they did the third time up? Four changeups in a row. Four changeups in a row. Now, maybe they were of the two different varieties. Kyle has two changeups. Somebody tell AJ Pruszynski, by the way, that. I don't know if AJ realizes that. I heard him last night. I heard him just talking about the changeup. Kyle's got two. He's got two fastballs, the sinker and the four-seamer, and he's got two different changeups that move in different ways. So sometimes, you know, it'll say, oh, he just threw four changeups, and he did, but they're slightly different kind of changeups. He's trying to get weak contact as the ball tails in a slightly different direction with one of them, right? But where's the curveball? Where's the curveball? I mean, top of the order, real freaking hitters. Carroll and Marte, especially against righties, are the truth. Christian Walker is the truth. Four changeups in a row. One was at 81, one was at 79, but that's not enough of a change of speed after you gave him two in the previous at bat. So he got four in a row and he homers off the fourth one. Where's the curveball, man? Mess with the timing. But, you know, I'm not a pitching coach. I'm not a pitching infrastructure genius. I'm not Kyle Hendricks. I just want more curveballs. Because I don't think that pitchers change speeds enough these days in MLB. I mean, my goodness. Especially when you don't have flaming heat. Adam Wainwright lasted like four extra years because he used his curveball that much. Kyle's is good. It's not Wainwright good, but it's pretty damn good. Anyway, here's Kyle Hendricks after the game talking about the team, the intensity, and what happened against the Diamondbacks.
Yeah, these are two tough ones. We knew coming out of the break that these are going to be a couple big series to start. And yeah, just unfortunate to drop these two. So I think I've said it in the past, you know, we've had that sense of urgency, and it's been day to day. We just seem to hit a stride, you know, where we're playing really good baseball. And then even last 2 days, we're still putting together good at-bats. It's just a couple pitches here and there that we're just getting beat on. So just got to keep trudging away. Like I said, take it one day at a time, one pitch at a time. That's where we've been. But yeah, I just got to play a little better baseball.
Oh, see, now it's frustrating because he's not wrong about some of that stuff. You got to play a little better baseball. You got to play clean. Michael Busch has to score on Friday on a dribbler up the middle with two outs. When you're at second, you got to be sprinting on contact. That's got to be a run there. Then it's a two-run deficit in the ninth instead of a three-run deficit. Might have made a difference. You never know. Seiya's got to throw to the right base, not give up an extra base on Friday that allows Moreno to score on a single immediately after. You know, you get given six walks by Zach Gallen. Six walks, right? Did he walk six through five innings? And you can't drive anybody in?
Cubs stranded 9 base runners through 5 innings.
Stranded 9 through 5 on 6 walks. Just brutal. And sometimes it is rough luck. Nico Horner came in with a 12-game hit streak, hit the ball very hard a few different times. Also drew a walk. Nico's feeling it right now. He really is. But some other guys are not, and some of the luck and the happenstance of baseball is not working in your favor. Let's discuss. We have White Sox trade deadline things to bring you as soon as we come back from the break. The biggest rumor that I read this morning from a team that has done this kind of crazy thing before that's rumored out there. We'll bring that to you when we come back. I told you I heard some stuff from the White Sox clubhouse. We'll do that either later in the hour or the top of the 10. Here's the deal. The first 2 hours are open for your conversation and mine. Let's talk. Are the Cubs dead? You sticking a fork in them? How are we here? Why are we here?
What are we doing here?
And that's Chuck Garfine. I heard the Sox guys were great in postgame last night. I didn't see them, but we've got some good cuts, some extended cuts. People are texting and saying so maybe we'll bring some of that to you during the course of the morning. We'll talk about the Hall of Famers here on Hall of Fame Day. You see the Hall of Fame patch on all the hats around baseball this weekend? Looks pretty damn cool. We'll celebrate the Hall of Famers, including a clip of the Ford C. Frickawarner, Joe Castiglione, from the PBP that I think you will enjoy about one of the all-time moments of the history of the game. Truth be told. And what else? Rob Friedman, Pitching Ninja, at 11 o'clock. Bob Brenly, the Diamondbacks TV broadcaster, the former Cubs broadcaster, at noon. I'm here until 12:40, and you're here with me on 670 The Score. Dial it up and get involved right now. 312.
This has been a dead end.
Oh, damn. 312-644-6767.
Hit and Run with Matt Spiegel, Sundays, 9 a.m. to noon.
1-1 to Pham, and Witt will pick it up, and that'll do it. So the Sox need a win tomorrow to avoid a sweep. They've now dropped 6 in a row.
With this lineup, if you're like, if those guys ever play in the big league, watch this.
Yeah.
Fan, Benintendi, Roberts, Vaughn, Jimenez, Lopez, and DeJohn. Big league experience.
Yeah.
It's not a kid, that's not a bunch of kids. Maybe they'll be a backup player somewhere, but I think they have better lineup than what they show every day and perform.
No,
the way better lineup.
Ozzie Guillen last night talking about the veterans in that lineup. A lot of them won't be here pretty soon. It's time. It is time. There's 8 days before the deadline, and I guess 9 days. But boy, it's time for a variety of reasons. I have feared that some of the people, or one of the people that might be leaving, is going to be dealt, and I wish he was not, but it looks like he is.
They already DFA'd Martin Maldonado.
Yeah, so it ain't him. It ain't him. I mean, that's fine. That's the first move. It's the first signifier of, okay, let's go ahead and turn that page, shall we? Chucky Robinson throwing a base runner out last night. Chucky Robinson doing that, coming up in a big moment with an at-bat, but okay, let's stop talking about Chucky Robinson at-bats. Let's tell you this, though. Bob Nightingale on Inside the Clubhouse yesterday with our own Bruce Levine and our own David Haw was talking about Garrett Crochet, and he said a lot of teams are going to be making serious, serious offers.
And probably in a variety of ways. I mean, I would think even when it goes to the final few days, you're still talking about 8 or 10 teams that will make serious offers. I mean, bottom line is everybody wants this guy because he's not making money. You get him for 2 more years, and obviously having an unbelievable season, so you're hoping he can do the same thing for the next 2 years. So no, I mean, he's the number one trade guy on the board. I don't think he's even a close second, providing Tarik Skubal isn't available.
So Tarik Skubal and Garrett Crochet are the dream targets for 8 to 10 teams. People bidding like crazy. The White Sox holding out hope that they can absolutely get the world for Garrett Crochet. I wouldn't trade him. I hope they don't trade him. But folks, I think they're going to trade him. Nightingale also said yesterday that a lot of teams will be trading for Crochet as a reliever, that he'll be a reliever this year for them to minimize some innings and be a crazy lefty weapon out of that bullpen. And then in Nightingale's column today, The Yankees, for the first time, are willing to include number one prospect Spencer Jones in a trade for White Sox ace Garrett Crochet or Tigers Cy Young candidate Tarik Skubal. The White Sox, however, are holding out for a bigger package from the Yankees and others. So, according to Bob, they have successfully gotten Spencer Jones into that deal, but they still want more. I mean, good. Ask for the world. As long as this is what you're going to do. If you really do have a market like this, anybody see that the Braves just put Max Fried on the injured list yesterday? I mean, now you've got a lot of teams, a lot of big behemoths out there wanting to go do things. Very, very active are the Dodgers. Very, very active are the Yankees. The Seattle Mariners, who have now been caught by the Houston Astros in the American League West. How aggressive will the Rangers be if they believe in themselves? They've got pitchers coming back off the injured list due to the World Series champs, but I don't know how aggressive they're going to be. How aggressive will the Braves be? I mean, you got all these teams out there tussling. And then there's this report from Nightingale. Dig it. The Los Angeles Dodgers have spoken to the White Sox about a blockbuster that would include Crochet, center fielder Luis Robert, and perhaps reliever Michael Kopech, too.
Get them out of here. Get the Dodgers out of here. They're not allowed to trade for these dudes.
You remember when the Dodgers bailed out the Red Sox by trading for Josh Beckett, Adrian Gonzalez, and Carl Crawford, and Nick Punto was the throw-in, and there was a picture of all four of them on the private plane jetting across the country with like the goofiest crap-eating grins on their face as they went from, you know, bad Boston to the Dodgers. They were so happy. There was champagne, and the Dodgers ate so much money in that trade. This is, I mean, an unbelievable bailout deal. The Dodgers have done this before. They've done it more times than that, but that's the one I'll always think about because it was like, they did what? They took what? I mean, Crawford and Gonzalez and Beckett. There was massive money attached there. And the Red Sox got James Loney, Alan Webster, Ivan DeJesus, Jerry Sands, and Ruby De La Rosa. Just take our big money players. Give us some lottery tickets. James Loney, a nice player.
There's two former Cubs in there.
But, I mean, my goodness. So this is the Dodgers again going for that. And before we go to your phone lines, your phone calls, and remember, phone lines are open right now, and I got a bunch of texts from you that I'll read as well. 312-644-6767. Here's what I heard from the White Sox clubhouse. Okay? You ready? Pedro Grifol addressed the team before the second half opener. And he tried to put a chip on the shoulder of the players, trying to motivate them, put the fear of God into them, try to get them to play hard and avoid being the worst team ever in baseball history. White Sox need to win, I think it's 17 games to avoid going 40-122. So, yeah, 16, 17 wins is what they need. And the White Sox right now at 27-33. Was it 42-120? That was the record, right? 42-120. So they need 16 wins to avoid being the worst team in the history of baseball. Pedro told the players that they'd be remembered as the worst team in baseball, that the players themselves would be remembered as being the worst team in baseball. He's apparently driving them harder with some more mandatory BP, some more mandatory running, stuff that really doesn't happen this time of the season. And several of the veterans are upset by this. Several of the veterans bothered by this, tried to talk to him about how this usually doesn't happen at this point in the season, especially on a losing team. But Pedro is trying to motivate this team, trying to motivate these guys. And the veterans didn't respond well. Okay? So that's what I heard. And now I can add my context. This is part of why now the time has come to move as many of those veterans as you can. Tommy Pham, thank you so much for half a season. Thanks for the entertainment. I don't care how many L's we got, Tommy. Go enjoy yourself as a pinch hitter or maybe a starting outfielder or even a DH on a decent team. Go ahead. Send Tommy Pham somewhere. Paul DeYoung, thank you for your service. Good job. Thank you for your openness and your honesty along the way. it's fine that you knew that that you want to be dealt, that they want to deal you, that you were a sign and flip. Impressive level of veteran openness. Good luck. Nicky Lopez. I'm sorry that the homecoming didn't work out better. There are teams out there that would be interested in Nicky Lopez, contact bat, who can play a decent second base, play a little shortstop in a pinch. I know the numbers are really bad, but 26th guy on a team who wants a certain kind of prototype coming off that bench. How do you feel about a Nicky Lopez pinch hit in the middle innings against an advantageous matchup in September and maybe even October? I bet there are teams that would take him off your hands. Go ahead. Brooks Baldwin is here to play anyway. Brooks Baldwin, by the way, who looks about 18 years old. But obviously, Eric Fetty, thank you so much. Good job, man. Way to go. Way to pitch well. Scouted you well. Nailed it. Eric Fetty will go. Are there others in that bullpen? Yeah, maybe. Gavin Sheets? It feels kind of silly to trade away a lefty slug bat that you kind of found and created. But maybe he'll get dealt. He could be somebody's lefty power bat off the bench. It's time to do all that. I hope they don't do Crochet, but it appears that they're going to, and I'll be bummed when they do. So veterans not thrilled with Pedro's aggressive approach as he tries to light a fire to begin the second half. And he, too, I'm sure, would like to avoid being known as the manager of the worst team in the history of baseball. But it's time to send the veterans packing. 312-644-6767 is the number. This is Mark in South Bend. Mark, you're on Hit and Run. Phone lines open for you guys a lot of these first 2 hours. What do you say, Mark?
Hey, Spiegs, how you doing? Always an honor and a pleasure to chime in with you. I couldn't agree with you more about what you're saying about the White Sox. But again, I'm going to mention one name whose fault this all is, and I'll go into stuff over what's been happening this season. Jerry Reinsdorf presented us this motion picture we're in front of right now. It's his fault. He's the nail. We're the hammer. We got to keep pounding that nail that this is Reinsdorf's fault. And I'll say something else. These veteran players who are getting pushed back right now from Grifol, I think a lot of them have given up. The only ones that haven't are Fetty and Crochet. They need to improve their stock in that, and it's hard for a pitcher to. I think the team's given up 4 weeks ago when that fly ball was hit to center field, and Luis Robert, our only potential superstar, said, "I couldn't make that throw," and try to throw him out. Well, you got to make that throw. The game's on the line. What if the runner slips and falls on his way home?
Yeah.
It's so ridiculous.
Yeah, it really is, Mark. It really is. That was such a blatant moment of quit, of odd instincts. It just didn't make any damn sense except some apathy. Which leads me to this text. On the Scores text line, here's the text in full. "I just don't care anymore." That's from a texter. Well, that's unfortunate. It's unfortunate for talk show hosts like me. So it really is. It's unfortunate for ball clubs like these two. "I just don't care anymore." That's really what you don't want, folks. You know, I've been around this business a long time.
Oh, really?
Yeah, caring in one way or another, it's important. Just don't care anymore. More texts. "Speak, stick a fork in the Cubs. They're done. The All-Star break came at the wrong time. It reset the offense back to factory defaults." I do like that image, by the way. It's like, oh, here we go. What do we got? Got a Cubs offense. Yeah, it's rolling a little bit. Okay, good. Well, let's have a 5-6 day break. Just unplug it. Just unplug it for a few days. Unplug the offense. Nah, everybody needs their time. These guys are on a break. Okay, ready to go? It's Thursday night, about 9 p.m. Got a ball game tomorrow. Plug it back in. Let it warm up overnight. And then the offense starts again on day one of the second half. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. This looks like last September's offense. What are we doing?
Wait, these guys take double A's? We got triple A's.
I thought these were rechargeable. What the hell?
What have we been plugging in the wall here? Yeah.
What's going on here?
It's tough, man. What was the vibe like out there, though? I mean, I know it's Wrigley, so it's always fun Saturday night, but like, how were the fans out there?
It was dead ass. It was completely dead ass. There was a moment where Hunter Biggie had two strikes on somebody in the ninth inning.
And I'm one of those guys.
Yeah, people got up and tried to clap, half the people. And that was literally like the first time that there was any energy after second and third with nobody out in the fifth inning. Michael Bush hits that ground rule double into the ivy. Second and third, nobody out with 3, 4, and 5 coming up. Strikeout, walk, ground ball, inning over. It felt like the game was over, and it essentially was. Brutal. Brutal lack of energy. Little bit of energy after Mastroboni's RBI double, but not much more than that. Me, I'm sitting there keeping score, because that's what I do. That's how I roll. And taking notes on my scorecard, as I always do when I got a game the next day. I saw some cool things. I saw some bad things. Let me just say this. My daughter Emma, it was her birthday. We were out there for her birthday. She deserved better. Emma deserved more. She deserved a better effort from that ball club offensively. And, you know, deserved some more oomph. I got to tell you, when I talk about the oomph, it's really difficult for my inner meatball not to come flying out and wonder if Craig Counsell's incredibly steady and calm demeanor is enough. It's really easy for me to look at that and wonder about that. I know Friday's the first game of the second half, but there were so many bad ball and strike calls. Where's the arguing? You didn't get run. You know, and I know that's so meatball-y. I get it. And we saw Justin Steele with some fire a few weeks back. Did the team get going? Well, it took a little while, but they did win 8 of 11 at one point. Was Justin Steele good? Yes, very, very good for a stretch of 9 starts until getting hit a bit on Friday. But look, I'll ask Bob Brenly a little bit later on. Whoa. Sorry, some rumbling on the floor above here. In the ninth floor of the Prudential Tower.
You okay, man?
Yeah, I'm fine.
It shook in here, too.
It shook, right? Yeah, yeah, something was going on. I think it was the team of the moment rallying for another win. We'll get to them in the 10 o'clock hour. But I'll ask Bob Brenly, can a team thrive? And, you know, they have, historically. The Brewers have. They did, you know? Does Counsell have enough energy and emotion? It's going to be my question to Bob Brenly. And if he doesn't, does somebody on staff need to have it? I want to know the answer to these things. Because it's impossible for your inner meatball not to come out. This texter, is there any way that the Cubs do not sell at this point? Even a small buy is not enough. They need to completely rework this lineup. Let's see Matt Shaw at third. Let's see what some of the young outfielders actually have. And back to this texter who says, I just don't care anymore. Stop texting, sir or ma'am. Stop. You've made your point. You're making me sad on a Sunday morning. I don't want to be sad. I want to talk baseball. Baseball's a beautiful game. It's not being played well in this town, but it is a beautiful game. That remains. Continuing on Hit and Run, it's Matt Spiegel here with you all morning long. Pitching Ninja at 11, Team of the Moment next hour, Bob Brenly at noon. Keep it right here on 670 The Score.
Hit and Run with Matt Spiegel, Sundays, 9 a.m. to noon.
Look, we had 9 base runners in 5 innings against a very good starting pitcher. And, you know, we were the first couple rallies came with 2 outs. You know, the fifth inning was a really good opportunity to score with Nico and Bushy leading off the inning and getting on second and third, and he made some good pitches to get out of the inning. He was around the zone, like, you know, kind of challenging our ball strike stuff all night. We did a pretty good job of it, but, you know, ultimately we needed a kind of the next hit to score, and didn't get it.
Did not get the next hit, and now what? How big should they go if they sell? I mean, whew, this has been a roller coaster of sorts this month. Last year was, but this season, man, with the 6 weeks to start off where everything looked pretty good. What were they, 17 and 11? I think they were
17-11.
17-11 was the high water mark, and then things fell off. As Jed Hoyer said, it went from 2 weeks to 4 to 6 to 8. How big do you go with an opportunity possibly to sell? Texter is getting in at 312-644-6767. Cubs blew it in the offseason, deciding to compete with an 80-win team instead of spending over the cap for a 90-win team. They needed a closer and a bat that can hit home runs every 15 to 17 at-bats. They did need a closer. They did need another home run bat. What's amazing is they brought back Belly. That's not an ad. That's just a bring back from a team that won 83 games and fell apart in September. Then they added Michael Busch, and he's been the best hitter on this team. Look at the numbers right now. By OPS, he's the best hitter on this team. Only 12 bombs, but my God. And he had the double last night. So they brought that guy, but they banked on some improvements from within, and they banked on some consistency from dudes who have not been consistent. You know who they are. Dansby Swanson with a brutal year after averaging, I think, 25 homers over the last 3 years, 88 RBIs over the last 3 years. And this is a brutal, brutal moment for an offensive downturn from Dansby Swanson and a scary one in year two of his deal. The catchers completely fell apart. Miguel Amaya, a couple of hits last night. But, you know, I mean, you had to give up on Yan Gomes and go get Tomas Nito. And then Morel, like it just everybody's been waiting for more production from Morel, but it hasn't happened. There are 18 home runs, but like Cliff Floyd said last week, the swing is one dimensional. It's all there is. He doesn't shorten up. He won't shorten up and do that. And then there's Pete Crow Armstrong. I know he homered twice in St. Louis last Sunday, but that was on two off-speed mistakes from Miles Michaelis. This kid completely overwhelmed by big league velocity. He's trying to slug. He should be whatever version of Stephen Kwan he can possibly be. That's who Pete ought to be. But I know that everybody falls in love with the slug, including the players, including the front office. And it'd be nice, but you got to be a hitter first, man. And Pete's not a hitter. And Pete is a great defensive center fielder. He's got a big arm, sometimes accurate. He can run like the freaking wind. That is not a big league hitter right now. It's going to take a while for him to become that if it's all going to be happening at the big league level. And then there's, I mean, it's like, who are the minor leaguers who we thought would be up by now? I mean, Mastroboni did have the pinch hit double. But when he got to the plate last night, I'm thinking, wow, here we are. It is July 20th. It is July 20th, and you're giving high leverage at bats to Miles Mastroboni? I mean, he did have the double in the ninth. I'll give it up. But didn't you think there'd be a couple of kids that would be up and contributing by now? Didn't you think that we'd have, whether it's an Owen Casey or a Matt Shaw, you know, that you'd have some of those kids up? I mean, you got PCA, but when Canario comes up, he doesn't play. Then he goes back down and he homers again. Didn't you say Canario homered again last night for Iowa? Canario went down, homered again.
He did. So did Matt Shaw, actually, on Friday.
Right. Infield double play depth. Here's the pitch. Swing and a high deep drive. Center field. Ratta back. Warning track to the wall. There she goes!
A two-run. So that's a two-run homer from Matt Shaw on Friday.
His 11th of the year.
You know, Texter says, last November when they brought in Council, I thought the Cubs were all in. They brought back Belly, brought in Shota Imanaga. That obviously wasn't enough. They have at least one bloated contract. I guess it's Dansby, yes. And the Bellinger contract could be an albatross. I don't know. It's only 2 years at a fairly manageable number. Even though it's a high number, it's not brutal as long as you're going to keep rolling. Unfortunately, I see them standing pat. If they trade, I think they got to sell big because this current offensive roster and bullpen ain't going to win nothing. Longtime Cubs fan and deadhead. That's Dave. Dave, hello. By the way, Tributosaurus doing the Grateful Dead on Thursday and Friday at Martyrs. I say this for Deadhead Dave and for anybody else. Should be great fun. Thursday night and Friday night, Grateful Dead shows at Martyrs up there at Lincoln, Damon, and Irving. Come by and hang out. But anyway, So Dave says he thinks they should sell big. Let's throw open the phone lines and talk about it with you and talk about how big they should go, if they can. Bruce Levine gave us a rumor yesterday on one player with a fairly high salary that is supposedly being talked about as a potential sell piece. What are the others? Who would you move and how big would you go if you convert to seller and do so openly in the next few days in what is a seller's market in MLB? Let's talk about it. 312-644-6767. Team of the moment later on in the hour, but we start with your phone calls and your texts here on Hit and Run on The Score.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
The premier baseball show in Chicago. Hit and Run with Matt Spiegel.
Line drive out to left, Benintendi, and it's over his head. And it's a double for Renfroe.
3-0 Kansas City.
1-1 to Pham, and Witt will pick it up, and that'll do it. So the Sox need a win tomorrow to avoid a sweep. They've now dropped 6 in a row.
Carroll swings and hits one high in the air. Deep right center field. This is going to go. It's gone. A 2-run home run for Corbin Carroll. And the Diamondbacks add to their lead. 3-0 now over the Cubs. Here in the fifth, second home run allowed in the frame by Hendricks.
Here comes the 1-0 from Seawall. It's lifted into deep right center. Going back is Carroll with a play, makes the catch. And the ball game is over. And the Diamondbacks have made it 2 in a row here at Wrigley Field.
It's time for Hit and Run with your host, Matt Spiegel.
Dun, dun, good morning. Dun, dun, good morning. Dun, dun. See, here's the thing. Baseball itself is a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful game. It's a really good, interesting league. Summer is a lovely time of year. Last night at the ballpark, a lovely evening. Turn up the low brass. So, to recap, baseball beautiful, league interesting and good. Summer, nice. Last night, lovely. These two ball clubs that we get to watch, that we have to talk about, woof. They're not good. And they're not good in different ways with different contexts, and we'll talk about all of it with you. Good morning, everybody. I refuse to be depressed and angry. You can, though. You're welcome to call at 312-644-6767. That's the phone number. That's also the text line, and that's how you get in here on the listener line, which is powered by BetQL. Bet smarter and beat the books. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com. Me, I'm broadcasting live from the Hyundai Score Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. See, here's the thing. We live in a world where the trade deadline looms at 6 p.m. on the 30th of July. That means the Cubs had 10 games coming out of the break with which to make a stand and prove for the second consecutive July to their boss, Jed Hoyer, that they are deserving of some aggression to help them out. And they have come out with the first two games of this deadline and played awful. Just awful, unfortunate baseball in some specific ways. And yes, there has also been baseball weirdness. Baseball is a funny game. Bad umpire calls on Friday. Acknowledged, Chef. Acknowledged. Kyle Hendricks says that the Diamondbacks are a real good lineup who had a bunch of good at-bats and just took advantage of two pitches in the fifth. And that's true. Just three runs for Kyle given up in five innings. If the offense does anything, maybe Kyle gets better, deserves better. But I still have questions about what went on from his perspective in the fifth that we'll talk about. And then there's the Cubs bats who just, oh man, second and third, nobody out in the fifth yesterday, down 3-0 all of a sudden with spots 3, 4, and 5 coming up in the order. And Zach Gallen at that point knows he's done after this inning, knows he's not going to get the sixth. Pitching coach comes out, talks to Zach Gallen, second and third, nobody out. They talk about it. And then there's a strikeout of Seiya Suzuki. Was that a bad call on the check swing? I think they actually got it right. Tough one for Seiya, who walked twice earlier in the game. That is third at bat. Probably should have walked a third time. It's tough when you're putting that pressure on yourself and you want to do something when other people are not really doing anything here to start the break. And then a strikeout for Ian Happ. Christopher Morel works a walk. And then there's this from Mike Tauchman, and Zach Gallen knew he had survived his final and biggest, and it turns out the only real challenge for the Cubs all night long.
Gallen is ready. Here comes the 2-2. A bouncing ball hit on the right side, fielded by Walker, underhand toss to Gallen, covering the bag in time to get Tauchman, and the Cubs leave the bases loaded after five.
That's it. That is literally it. Until Miles Mastroboni's double in the ninth inning, a pinch hit double. I can tell you, folks, I was there last night on a beautiful night with wife and child, and we had an incredible evening. It's a wonderful place to go. You know that. Hell, it's full every night. We had a wonderful evening, except for the effort by the ball club. Just a grim, grim showing. There was nothing there. And there was ugliness on Friday. Not so much ugliness in the field defensively last night. I mean, Seiya Suzuki with a misread in right field, but then he recovers and makes the catch. But it was just dead, man. And it's fitting that we're having Bob Brenly on a little bit later this morning. Bob Brenly's going to be on at noon. He can talk Diamondbacks with us. He can talk Torey Lovello with us. He can talk a little Craig Counsell with us. Talk the state of baseball with us. Because Bob Brenly, 13 years ago in the summer of 2011, commented on a Cubs team that he was unimpressed by.
This has been a dead-ass team.
Yeah, dead-ass team. That's what it felt like last night. Brenly in my head as I watched it last night. Woof. It's just, it's a very dark moment because they knew they needed to come out swinging. First two at-bats on Friday. Nico with a hit, Michael Bush with a hardliner to center. And I'm watching, I'm like, you know what? Maybe they're going to come out blazing. They won 8 of 11 going into the break. Bats were on fire. But it has not happened at all the last 2 days against Ryne Nelson. Ryne Nelson? What? Who? Huh? Ryne Nelson had given up 26 earned runs in his previous 9 starts. And he shut the Cubs out for a while. And then that bullpen, that D-backs bullpen is legit, folks. You saw a bunch of arms last night. Kevin Ginkle, and then was it Jesus Martinez, and then Thompson, the funky righty, and then eventually Sewald, who will mess with your head. Paul Sewald will mess with your head. And he did so both of the last 2 days. So a grim, grim showing from the Cubs. And we want to talk about it with you at 312-644-6767. As for the White Sox, same script the last two nights in Kansas City. Give up some runs early, and then offense does a big pile of nothing with their opportunities. And it's unfortunate, but you got to speak some truth. Brutal defense again for the White Sox in the outfield, giving up extra bases. Jonathan Cannon was not bad last night. But there were a lot of weird moments and weird plays with those 5 straight hits in the first inning. And yes, he gave up the contact, but extra bases just handed around to people. Slugging percentages climbing based on mediocre to bad outfield play. Here's one for you. If anybody was watching, and I'm sure some of you are not, and we'll move on to some trade deadline stuff with the White Sox in a little bit, but when Michael Massey triples, local kid, local product, Michael Massey, when he triples and Salvador Perez scores from first, like trudging, looking like a lost Molina brother out there was Sal Perez. He's rounding third. And I'm like, what? They're sending Sal Perez from first on a double? And I'm like, oh, but it's got to be a play at the plate here. But Tommy Pham's throw came into Nicky Lopez out by second base. Meanwhile, Sal Perez is scoring, so there wasn't a hit cutoff man to try and get a play at the plate where you throw it to the first baseman as a cutoff. There wasn't that direct line from right field. Or did Lopez turn around? No. And there also wasn't a throw to third, so Michael Massey goes in for a triple standing up. That ball was not misplayed out there and right. It was just played slowly by Tommy Pham. And then a weird throw to Lopez out by second. What are we doing here? You get an extra base. You get an extra base. It's gruesome. By the way, you know what? It does remind me of just the look on Justin Steele's face on Friday as he pointed towards second base when Gabby Moreno, the catcher, held up briefly between first and second, pulling a little league deke on Seiya Suzuki. That's little league, man. And Seiya throws behind him, and Moreno's like, okay, I'll just keep running then. Thank you. And goes to second. And if anybody didn't see, Justin Steele is standing on the mound pointing to second base. That's where the throw...
Whistings.
That's where the throw... That throw should go to... Oh, boy. Extra base. You get an extra base. I don't like when our teams give up extra bases. Like, it's just... Everybody gets them. Look, there's trade deadline stuff to talk about with both teams. The Cubs start this 10-game run before the deadline, desperately needing, in my opinion, a 5-1 homestand. Six games against Arizona and the Brewers. They're 0-2 in those six games. 5-1 has left town. Now you got to take the next four. Would you accept a 4-2 road trip? I mean, 4-2 homestand? You'll take it. But then they go to Kansas City for three. Got to take two of three there. These are the corners you've backed yourself into. You know? This is where you've put yourself. Last year, your playoff odds got above 25% by the end of the month by the trade deadline, and Jed Hoyer made a buy. Right now, your playoff odds are 6.8%. 6.8. Folks, if you want to call it over, I can't battle with you too much. I mean, this was your time. This was your moment. Still got eight games left, but it's literally these last eight games. What you got? And even if you do rise up and have great at-bats and bust your hump, it's still baseball. You can lose games. Baseball is a funny game. Was that Joe Garagiola? Is that what I keep quoting? It got in my head Friday and it hasn't left. Because it is, it's quirky, it's weird. But any of you out there feeling grumpy, any of you out there who might, I don't know, be producing the show and might have texted their host last night and said, baseball sucks, dude. Yeah. It's all right. I got you, Sean. I got you. He texted me and said, baseball sucks, dude. It doesn't suck. Cubs are playing bad. Your team is playing bad. It sucks in this town right now. I personally, hardcore baseball guy, hit and run host, baseball romantic, I've never been more ready for Bears season than I am in my life.
Yeah, me too, man.
I never have. I mean, I don't want to talk offensive line for 6 weeks. I don't want to talk about Nate Davis for 6 weeks. But if I got to talk about Caleb Williams, not on Sunday mornings. But Monday through Friday, look, I'm game. I'm ready. What's the source of sports optimism in this town? It ain't the baseball. What the hell? What have we done to deserve this? What have I done to deserve this? It's bad. Kyle Hendricks post-game talking about his outing and talking about the state of the team. I want you to hear that in a second. But let's say this. When Kyle walked the number nine hitter, Geraldo Perdomo, in the fifth inning last night, and up came the top of the order for the third time through, every human in the place knew that it was trouble. I knew it was trouble. I put my head down. I shook my head. Wife and child looked at me and said, why? And then I told him, look, it's third time through the order. You can't be walking the nine hitter. Kyle's operating on a thin margin. And then I was watching the pitch selection because I have some thoughts on Kyle and pitching that we're going to talk about with Pitching Ninja at 11 o'clock. Rob Friedman, I'm really looking forward to that. And we'll certainly talk about it with you throughout the morning. Different things about the game. Remember, we're doing Team of the Moment later. We can talk about anything all over the league here on Hit and Run and 670 The Score. But Kyle, as he was pitching to Corbin Carroll, who is real good against righties and has turned it on in the couple of weeks leading up to the break, he hit seventh against Justin Steele, the lefty, on Friday. But yesterday, hitting leadoff at bat number one from Hendricks to Carroll. Fastball, one pitch, fly ball, deep out. At bat number two to Carroll, two changeups. And he threw the changeups twice, got a fly out. For those who don't know, Kyle, the third time through, his OPS against is over 1.000. Third time through the order, teams get to him. And, you know, there's lots of theories as to why. Here's what I knew as I was watching. I know that Kyle's curveball has been really good of late, and he's been throwing it more. Thank you, Miguel Amaya. Thank you to Kyle Hendricks' father, too, who apparently always tells him to throw the curveball more often. Boog Shambi told us that a few starts ago. So anyway, the curveball has helped Kyle because it changes speeds. It messes with timing. Oh, you know, pitching. Oh, my goodness. And Kyle's been a master at pitching and messing with timing and getting weak contact in his career. An absolute master. Last time out, seven shutout innings in St. Louis. But here I am watching. Here I am watching the third at bat coming up. And this is after a Tommy Hotovy trip to the mound. I'm thinking, okay, what are they going to do with Corbin Carroll now? As I mentioned, fastball, one pitch out, first time up. Second time up, two changeups. You know what they did the third time up? Four changeups in a row. Four changeups in a row. Now, maybe they were of the two different varieties. Kyle has two changeups. Somebody tell AJ Pruszynski, by the way, that. I don't know if AJ realizes that. I heard him last night. Heard him just talking about the changeup. Kyle's got two. He's got two fastballs, the sinker and the four-seamer, and he's got two different changeups that move in different ways. So sometimes, you know, it'll say, oh, he just threw four changeups, and he did, but they're slightly different kind of changeups. He's trying to get weak contact as the ball tails in a slightly different direction with one of them, right? But where's the curveball? Where's the curveball? I mean, top of the order, real freaking hitters. Carroll and Marte, especially against righties, are the truth. Christian Walker is the truth. Four changeups in a row. One was at 81, one was at 79, but that's not enough of a change of speed after you gave him two in the previous at bat. So he got four in a row and he homers off the fourth one. Where's the curveball, man? Mess with the timing. But, you know, I'm not a pitching coach. I'm not a pitching infrastructure genius. I'm not Kyle Hendricks. I just want more curveballs. Because I don't think that pitchers change speeds enough these days in MLB. I mean, my goodness. Especially when you don't have flaming heat. Adam Wainwright lasted like four extra years because he used his curveball that much. Kyle's is good. It's not Wainwright good, but it's pretty damn good. Anyway, here's Kyle Hendricks after the game talking about the team, the intensity, and what happened against the Diamondbacks.
Yeah, these are two tough ones. We knew coming out of the break that these are going to be a couple big series to start. And yeah, just unfortunate to drop these two. So I think I've said it in the past, you know, we've had that sense of urgency, and it's been day to day. We just seem to hit a stride, you know, where we're playing really good baseball. And then even last 2 days, we're still putting together good at-bats. It's just a couple pitches here and there that we're just getting beat on. So just got to keep trudging away. Like I said, take it one day at a time, one pitch at a time. That's where we've been. But yeah, I just got to play a little better baseball.
Oh, see, now it's frustrating because he's not wrong about some of that stuff. and you got to play a little better baseball. You got to play clean. Michael Busch has to score on Friday on a dribbler up the middle with two outs. When you're at second, you got to be sprinting on contact. That's got to be a run there. Then it's a two-run deficit in the ninth instead of a three-run deficit. Might have made a difference. You never know. Seiya's got to throw to the right base, not give up an extra base on Friday that allows Moreno to score on a single immediately after. You know, you get given six walks by Zach Gallen. Six walks, right? Then he walks six through five innings, and you can't drive anybody in.
Cubs stranded nine base runners through five innings.
Stranded nine through five on six walks. Just brutal. And sometimes it is rough luck. Nico Horner came in with a 12-game hit streak, hit the ball very hard a few different times, also drew a walk. Nico's feeling it right now. He really is. But some other guys are not, and some of the luck and the happenstance of baseball is not working in your favor. Let's discuss. We have White Sox trade deadline things to bring you as soon as we come back from the break. The biggest rumor that I read this morning from a team that has done this kind of crazy thing before that's rumored out there. We'll bring that to you when we come back. I told you I heard some stuff from the White Sox clubhouse. We'll do that either later in the hour or the top of the 10. Here's the deal. The first 2 hours are open for your conversation and mine. Let's talk. Are the Cubs dead? You sticking a fork in them? How are we here? Why are we here?
What are we doing here?
And that's Chuck Garfine. I heard the Sox guys were great in postgame last night. I didn't see them, but we've got some good cuts, some extended cuts. People are texting and saying so maybe we'll bring some of that to you during the course of the morning. We'll talk about the Hall of Famers here on Hall of Fame Day. You see the Hall of Fame patch on all the hats around baseball this weekend? Looks pretty damn cool. We'll celebrate the Hall of Famers, including a clip of the Ford C. Frickelwarner, Joe Castiglione from the PBP that I think you will enjoy about one of the all-time moments of the history of the game, truth be told. And what else? Rob Friedman, Pitching Ninja at 11 o'clock. Bob Brenly, the Diamondbacks TV broadcaster, the former Cubs broadcaster, at noon. I'm here until 12:40, and you're here with me on 670 The Score. Dial it up and get involved right now. 312.
This has been a dead end.
Oh, damn. 312-644-6767.
Hit and Run with Matt Spiegel, Sundays, 9 a.m. to noon.
1-1 to Pham, and Witt will pick it up, and that'll do it. So the Sox need a win tomorrow to avoid a sweep. They've now dropped six in a row.
With this lineup, if you're like, if those guys ever play in the big league, watch this.
Yeah.
Fan, Benintendi, Roberts, Vaughn, Jimenez, Lopez, and DeJohn. Big league experience.
Yeah.
This is not a kid. That's not a bunch of kids. Maybe they'll be a backup player somewhere, but I think they have better lineup than what they show every day and perform.
No,
the way better lineup.
Ozzie Guillen last night talking about the veterans in that lineup. A lot of them won't be here pretty soon. It's time. It is time. There's 8 days before the deadline, and I guess 9 days. But boy, it's time for a variety of reasons. I have feared that some of the people, or one of the people that might be leaving, is going to be dealt, and I wish he was not, but it looks like he is.
They already DFA'd Martin Maldonado.
Yeah, so it ain't him. It ain't him. I mean, that's fine. That's the first move. It's the first signifier of, okay, let's go ahead and turn that page, shall we? Chucky Robinson throwing a base runner out last night. Chucky Robinson doing that, coming up in a big moment with an at bat, but okay, let's stop talking about Chucky Robinson at bats. Let's tell you this, though. Bob Nightingale on Inside the Clubhouse yesterday with our own Bruce Levine and our own David Haw was talking about Garrett Crochet, and he said a lot of teams are going to be making serious, serious offers.
And probably in a variety of ways. I mean, I would think even when it goes to the final few days, you're still talking about 8 or 10 teams that will make serious offers. I mean, bottom line is everybody wants this guy because he's not making money. You get him for, two more years. And, obviously having an unbelievable season. So you're hoping he can do the same thing for the next 2 years. So, no, I mean, he's the number one, trade guy on the board. I don't think he's even a close second, providing Tarik Skubal isn't available.
So Tarik Skubal and Garrett Crochet are the dream targets for 8 to 10 teams. People bidding like crazy. The White Sox holding out hope that they can absolutely get the world for Garrett Crochet. I wouldn't trade him. I hope they don't trade him. But folks, I think they're going to trade him. Nightingale also said yesterday that a lot of teams will be trading for Crochet as a reliever, that he'll be a reliever this year for them to minimize some innings and be a crazy lefty weapon out of that bullpen. And then in Nightingale's column today, the Yankees, for the first time, are willing to include number one prospect Spencer Jones in a trade for White Sox ace Garrett Crochet or Tigers Cy Young candidate Tarik Skubal. The White Sox, however, are holding out for a bigger package from the Yankees and others. So, according to Bob, they have successfully gotten Spencer Jones into that deal, but they still want more. I mean, good. Ask for the world. As long as this is what you're going to do. If you really do have a market like this, anybody see that the Braves just put Max Fried on the injured list yesterday? I mean, now you've got a lot of teams, a lot of big behemoths out there wanting to go do things. Very, very active are the Dodgers. Very, very active are the Yankees. The Seattle Mariners, who have now been caught by the Houston Astros in the American League West. How aggressive will the Rangers be if they believe in themselves? They've got pitchers coming back off the injured list due to the World Series champs, but I don't know how aggressive they're going to be. How aggressive will the Braves be? I mean, you got all these teams out there tussling. And then there's this report from Nightingale. Dig it. The Los Angeles Dodgers have spoken to the White Sox about a blockbuster that would include Crochet, center fielder Luis Robert, and perhaps reliever Michael Kopech, too.
Get them out of here. Get the Dodgers out of here. They're not allowed to trade for these dudes.
You remember when the Dodgers bailed out the Red Sox by trading for Josh Beckett, Adrian Gonzalez, and Carl Crawford, and Nick Punto was the throw-in, and there was a picture of all four of them on the private plane jetting across the country with like the goofiest crap-eating grins on their face as they went from, you know, bad Boston to the Dodgers. They were so happy. There was champagne, and the Dodgers ate so much money in that trade. This is, I mean, an unbelievable bailout deal. The Dodgers have done this before. They've done it more times than that, but that's the one I'll always think about because it was like, they did what? They took what? I mean, Crawford and Gonzalez and Beckett, there was massive money attached there. And the Red Sox got James Loney, Alan Webster, Yvonne DeJesus, Jerry Sands, and Ruby De La Rosa. Just take our big money players. Give us some lottery tickets. James Loney, a nice player.
There's two former Cubs in there.
But, I mean, my goodness. So this is the Dodgers again going for that. And before we go to your phone lines, your phone calls, and remember, phone lines are open right now, and I got a bunch of texts from you that I'll read as well. 312-644-6767. Here's what I heard from the White Sox clubhouse. Okay? You ready? Pedro Grifol addressed the team before the second half opener. And he tried to put a chip on the shoulder of the players, trying to motivate them, put the fear of God into them, try to get them to play hard and avoid being the worst team ever in baseball history. White Sox need to win, I think it's 17 games to avoid going 40 and 122. So, yeah, 16, 17 wins is what they need. And the White Sox right now at 27 and 33, was it 42 and 120? That was the record, right? 42 and 120. So they need 16 wins to avoid being the worst team in the history of baseball. Pedro told the players that they'd be remembered as the worst team in baseball, that the players themselves would be remembered as being the worst team in baseball. He's apparently driving them harder with some more mandatory BP, some more mandatory running, stuff that really doesn't happen this time of the season. And several of the veterans are upset by this. Several of the veterans bothered by this, tried to talk to him about how this usually doesn't happen at this point in the season, especially on a losing team. But Pedro is trying to motivate this team, trying to motivate these guys. And the veterans didn't respond well. Okay? So that's what I heard. And now I can add my context. This is part of why now the time has come to move as many of those veterans as you can. Tommy Pham, thank you so much for half a season. Thanks for the entertainment. I don't care how many L's we got, Tommy. Go enjoy yourself as a pinch hitter or maybe a starting outfielder or even a DH on a decent team. Go ahead. Send Tommy Pham somewhere. Paul DeYoung, thank you for your service. Good job. Thank you for your openness and your honesty along the way. It's fine that you knew that you want to be dealt, that they want to deal you, that you were a sign and flip. Impressive level of veteran openness. Good luck. Nicky Lopez. I'm sorry that the homecoming didn't work out better. There are teams out there that would be interested in Nicky Lopez, contact bat, who can play a decent second base, play a little shortstop in a pinch. I know the numbers are really bad, but 26th guy on a team who wants a certain kind of prototype coming off that bench. How do you feel about a Nicky Lopez pinch hit in the middle innings against an advantageous matchup in September and maybe even October? I bet there are teams that would take him off your hands. Go ahead. Brooks Baldwin is here to play anyway. Brooks Baldwin, by the way, who looks about 18 years old. But obviously, Eric Fetty, thank you so much. Good job, man. Way to go. Way to pitch well. Scouted you well. Nailed it. Eric Fetty will go. Are there others in that bullpen? Yeah, maybe. Gavin Sheets, it feels kind of silly to trade away a lefty slug bat that you kind of found and created. But maybe he'll get dealt. He could be somebody's lefty power bat off the bench. It's time to do all that. I hope they don't do Crochet, but it appears that they're going to, and I'll be bummed when they do. So veterans not thrilled with Pedro's aggressive approach as he tries to light a fire to begin the second half. And he, too, I'm sure, would like to avoid being known as the manager of the worst team in the history of baseball. But it's time to send the veterans packing. 312-644-6767 is the number. This is Mark in South Bend. Mark, you're on Hit and Run. Phone lines open for you guys a lot of these first 2 hours. What do you say, Mark?
Hey, Spiegs, how you doing? Always an honor and a pleasure to chime in with you. I couldn't agree with you more about what you're saying about the White Sox. But again, I'm going to mention one name whose fault this all is, and I'll go into stuff over what's been happening this season. Jerry Reinsdorf presented us this motion picture. We're in front of right now. It's his fault. He's the nail. We're the hammer. We got to keep pounding that nail that this is Reinsdorf's fault. And I'll say something else. These veteran players who are getting pushed back right now from Grifol, I think a lot of them have given up. The only ones that haven't are Fetty and Crochet. They need to improve their stock in that, and it's hard for a pitcher to. I think the team's given up 4 weeks ago when that fly ball was hit to center field, and Luis Robert, our only potential superstar, said, I couldn't make that throw and try to throw him out. Well, you got to make that throw. The game's on the line. What if the runner slips and falls on his way home?
Yeah.
It's so ridiculous.
Yeah, it really is, Mark. It really is. That was such a blatant moment of quit, of odd instincts. It just didn't make any damn sense except some apathy. Which leads me to this text. On the Scores text line, here's the text in full. I just don't care anymore. That's from a texter. Well, that's unfortunate. It's unfortunate for talk show hosts like me. So it really is. It's unfortunate for ball clubs like these two. I just don't care anymore. That's really what you don't want, folks. You know, I've been around this business a long time.
Oh, really?
Yeah, caring in one way or another, it's important. Just don't care anymore. More text. Speak, stick a fork in the Cubs, they're done. The All-Star break came at the wrong time. It reset the offense back to factory defaults. I do like that image, by the way. It's like, oh, here we go. What do we got? Got a Cubs offense. Yeah, it's rolling a little bit. Okay, good. Well, let's have a 5-6 day break. Just unplug it. Just unplug it for a few days. Unplug the offense. Nah, everybody needs their time. These guys are on a break. Okay, ready to go? It's Thursday night, about 9 p.m. Got a ball game tomorrow. Plug it back in. Let it warm up overnight. And then the offense starts again on day one of the second half. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. This looks like last September's offense. What are we doing?
Wait. These guys take double A's? We got triple A's.
I thought these were rechargeable. What the hell?
What have we been plugging in the wall here? Yeah.
What's going on here?
It's tough, man. What was the vibe like out there, though? I mean, I know it's Wrigley, so it's always fun Saturday night, but like, how were the fans out there?
It was dead ass. It was completely dead ass. There was a moment where Hunter Biggie had two strikes on somebody in the ninth inning.
And I'm one of those guys.
Yeah, people got up and tried to clap, half the people. And that was literally like the first time that there was any energy after second and third with nobody out in the fifth inning. Michael Bush hits that ground rule double into the ivy. Second and third, nobody out with 3, 4, and 5 coming up. Strikeout, walk, ground ball, inning over. It felt like the game was over, and it essentially was. Brutal lack of energy. Little bit of energy after Mastroboni's RBI double, but not much more than that. Me, I'm sitting there keeping score, because that's what I do. That's how I roll. And taking notes on my scorecard, as I always do when I got a game the next day. I saw some cool things. I saw some bad things. Let me just say this. My daughter Emma, was her birthday. We were out there for her birthday. She deserved better. Emma deserved more. She deserved a better effort from that ball club offensively. And, deserved some more oomph. I got to tell you, when I talk about the oomph, it's really difficult for my inner meatball not to come flying out and wonder if Craig Counsell's incredibly steady and calm demeanor is enough. It's really easy for me to look at that and wonder about that. I know Friday is the first game of the second half, but there were so many bad ball and strike calls. Where's the arguing? You didn't get run. You know, and I know that's so meatball-y. I get it. And we saw Justin Steele with some fire a few weeks back. Did the team get going? Well, it took a little while, but they did win 8 of 11 at one point. Was Justin Steele good? Yes, very, very good for a stretch of 9 starts until getting hit a bit on Friday. But look, I'll ask Bob Brenly a little bit later on. Whoa. Sorry, some rumbling on the floor above here. In the ninth floor of the Prudential Tower.
You okay, man?
Yeah, I'm fine.
It shook in here, too.
It shook, right? Yeah, something was going on. I think it was the team of the moment rallying for another win. We'll get to them in the 10 o'clock hour. But I'll ask Bob Brenly, can a team thrive? And, you know, they have historically. The Brewers have. They did, you know? Does Counsell have enough energy and emotion? It's going to be my question to Bob Brenly. And if he doesn't, does somebody on staff need to have it? I want to know the answer to these things. Because it's impossible for your inner meatball not to come out. This texter, is there any way that the Cubs do not sell at this point? Even a small buy is not enough. They need to completely rework this lineup. Let's see Matt Shaw at third. Let's see what some of the young outfielders actually have. And back to this texter who says, I just don't care anymore. Stop texting, sir or ma'am. Stop. You've made your point. You're making me sad on a Sunday morning. I don't want to be sad. I want to talk baseball. Baseball's a beautiful game. It's not being played well in this town, but it is a beautiful game. That remains. Continuing on Hit and Run, it's Matt Spiegel here with you all morning long. Pitching Ninja at 11, Team of the Moment next hour, Bob Brenly at noon. Keep it right here on 670 The Score.
Hit and Run with Matt Spiegel, Sundays, 9 a.m. to noon.
Look, we had 9 base runners and 5 innings against a very good starting pitcher. And, you know, the first couple rallies came with 2 outs. You know, the fifth inning was a really good opportunity to score with Nico and Bushy leading off the inning and getting on second and third, and he made some good pitches to get out of the inning. He was around the zone, like, you know, kind of challenging our ball strike stuff all night. We did a pretty good job of it, but, you know, ultimately we needed the next hit to score, and didn't get it.
Did not get the next hit, and now what? How big should they go if they sell? I mean, whew, this has been a roller coaster of sorts this month. Last year was, but this season, man, with the 6 weeks to start off where everything looked pretty good. What were they, 17 and 11? I think they were
17 and 11
was the high water mark, and then things fell off. As Jed Hoyer said, it went from 2 weeks to 4 to 6 to 8. How big do you go with an opportunity possibly to sell? Texter is getting in at 312-644-6767. Cubs blew it in the offseason, deciding to compete with an 80-win team instead of spending over the cap for a 90-win team. They needed a closer and a bat that can hit home runs every 15 to 17 at-bats. They did need a closer. They did need another home run bat. What's amazing is they brought back Belly. That's not an ad. That's just a bring back from a team that won 83 games and fell apart in September. Then they added Michael Busch, and he's been the best hitter on this team. Look at the numbers right now. By OPS, he's the best hitter on this team. Only 12 bombs, but my God. And he had the double last night. So they brought that guy, but they banked on some improvements from within, and they banked on some consistency from dudes who have not been consistent. You know who they are. Dansby Swanson with a brutal year after averaging, I think, 25 homers over the last 3 years, 88 RBIs over the last 3 years. And this is a brutal, brutal moment for an offensive downturn from Dansby Swanson and a scary one in year two of his deal. The catchers completely fell apart. Miguel Amaya, a couple of hits last night. But, you know, I mean, you had to give up on Yan Gomes and go get Tomas Nito. And then Morel, like it just everybody's been waiting for more production from Morel, but it hasn't happened. There are 18 home runs, but like Cliff Floyd said last week, the swing is one-dimensional. It's all there is. He doesn't shorten up. He won't shorten up and do that. And then there's, look, Pete Crow Armstrong. I know he homered twice in St. Louis last Sunday, but that was on two off-speed mistakes from Miles Michaelis. This kid completely overwhelmed by big league velocity. He's trying to slug. He should be whatever version of Stephen Kwan he can possibly be. That's who Pete ought to be. But I know that everybody falls in love with the slug, including the players, including the front office. And it'd be nice, but you got to be a hitter first, man. And Pete's not a hitter. And Pete is a great defensive center fielder. He's got a big arm, sometimes accurate. He can run like the freaking wind. But that is not a big league hitter right now. It's going to take a while for him to become that if it's all going to be happening at the big league level. And then there's, who are the minor leaguers who we thought would be up by now? I mean, Mastroboni did have the pinch hit double. But when he got to the plate last night, I'm thinking, wow, here we are. It is July 20th. It is July 20th, and you're giving high leverage at bats to Miles Mastroboni? I mean, he did have the double in the ninth. I'll give it up. But didn't you think there'd be a couple of kids that would be up and contributing by now? Didn't you think that we'd have, whether it's an Owen Casey or a Matt Shaw, you know, that you'd have some of those kids up? I mean, you got PCA, but when Canario comes up, he doesn't play. Then he goes back down and he homers again. Did you say Canario homered again last night for Iowa? Canario went down, homered again.
He did. So did Matt Shaw, actually, on Friday.
Right. Infield double play depth. Here's the pitch. Swing and a high deep drive. Center field. Rata back. Warning track to the wall. There she goes!
A two-run. So that's a two-run homer from Matt Shaw on Friday.
He's 11th of the year.
You know, Texter says, last November when they brought in counsel, I thought the Cubs were all in. They brought back Belly, brought in Shota Imanaga. That obviously wasn't enough. They have at least one bloated contract. I guess it's Dansby, yes. And the Bellinger contract could be an albatross. I don't know. It's only 2 years at a fairly manageable number, even though it's a high number. It's not brutal as long as you're going to keep rolling. Unfortunately, I see them standing pat. If they trade, I think they got to sell big because this current offensive roster and bullpen ain't going to win nothing. Longtime Cubs fan and deadhead. That's Dave. Dave, hello. By the way, Tributosaurus doing the Grateful Dead on Thursday and Friday at Martyrs. I say this for Deadhead Dave and for anybody else. Should be great fun. Thursday night and Friday night, Grateful Dead shows at Martyrs up there at Lincoln, Damon and Irving. Come by and hang out. But anyway, so Dave says he thinks they should sell big. Let's throw open the phone lines and talk about it with you and talk about how big they should go, if they can. Bruce Levine gave us a rumor yesterday on one player with a fairly high salary that is supposedly being talked about as a potential sell piece. What are the others? Who would you move and how big would you go if you convert to seller and do so openly in the next few days in what is a seller's market in MLB? Let's talk about it. 312-644-6767. Team of the moment later on in the hour, but we start with your phone calls and your texts here on Hit and Run on the Score.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.